Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text line, senior writer for ESPN, Chris Lowe. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Mike. Bobby, it's good to be with you as always.
Chris, Bobby and I were talking about this. Do you see a real contender in the SEC West to go up against Alabama? To be honest with you, I've been asked that numerous times. I don't see anybody that's going to step in the ring against them. I think at this point they are a team very focused, and if you think Texas A&M might catch them, good luck with that. I think Jimbo kind of stoked the fire a little bit on that particular deal. But I think it's more open in the East, to be honest, than the West, where I think in the West, I think unless something catastrophic happens, I think Alabama rolls through.
Yeah, Mike, I would agree. Now, I don't think it's just out of the realm that Alabama could stumble or lose to somebody this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
They lost A&M last year, and Alabama was a better team. But I don't think anybody's going to unseat Alabama in the West. And I'm not predicting they're going to lose to somebody in the West. I mean, I just don't think anybody's got, as you said, the punch and the pop to beat Alabama. And yeah, I think the teams are a little bit closer to Georgia in the East. You know, Kentucky, Tennessee. We'll see what Florida has. We'll see how much better South Carolina is with Spencer Rattler. Some added offensive weapons. I still think Georgia's the class.
The only thing with Kentucky and Tennessee, experienced quarterbacks. And
right.
they both
have guys who play. And
Will can tilt the field. And they've always played great defense. I think everybody's intrigued with a team you know a lot about, University of Tennessee. They have not been in the discussion to get into a possible SEC championship game in a long time out in the East.
At least I want to say a couple of decades.
Yeah, and so – but – I think based off of last year, man, you start to see that team is believing in a coach and a system, and he is starting to get players, and they got a lot of name, image, likeness money rolling around there.
Yeah, well, they certainly got momentum and got some cash. They got Bobby's kind of cash, in fact.
Well, they better have more than that.
Yeah, more than that.
But they both have to sort of – when I say both, Tennessee and Kentucky both sort of have to get through the Bermuda Triangle, and that is, you know, Tennessee just – they just, for whatever reason, Mike, even in years when they were a little bit better, have not been able to beat Florida. And that's the barrier they're going to have to get over this year if they're going to have any chance of contending. And the East – Kentucky hasn't been able to beat Tennessee. You know, Kentucky has won 10 games
– yep –
two of the last 4 years, but they just, for whatever reason, can't beat Tennessee. And I think for either of those teams to truly contend this year, they're going to have to get over those barriers. Tennessee's going to have to figure out how to beat Florida. Kentucky's going to have to figure out a way to beat Tennessee. If one of those two things happen, then who knows? Maybe one of those teams can contend, because you're right. There's nothing like having guys at quarterback who have played, who the team believes in. And I had a chance to meet with Levis back in early this month, and he is one impressive dude, man. Physically, mentally, he's just a guy that you can see how the guys in that locker room rally around.
Now, you know, Chris, I'm intrigued because he's going to be here before you know it. Obviously, we all prepared here for LSU and Florida State in the Caesars Superdome of September the 4th. But then looking at the day before that, I thought was intriguing. Looking at Utah at Florida, and I'm looking at the Utah Utes, and they have like 14 starters coming back, and I guess the Gators can have a good idea where they stand considering versus a Rose Bowl team. And then you got the Georgia Bulldogs against the Oregon Ducks, the defending national champs, to take on one of the Pac-12's best teams. So that's some intriguing games come from the get-go.
I like Utah. Yeah. I know what they got. I know what they got, and I know how they win. I know how they win.
They're always physical under Whittingham. That's the thing, man. They'll run the ball and they'll play defense. But of those three games, Bobby, the one that I circled weeks ago was Utah for that very reason. I mean, we find out pretty quickly. You can't assess a coach on one game, but where Florida is right out of the game under Billy Napier, they play at home. There'll be a lot of excitement there in the swamp. It's an early game. It'll be about 900 degrees. And then Utah, if anybody in the Pac-12 is going to make a run, and, you know, gosh, only two Pac-12 schools have made the playoff. Isn't that hard to believe since the playoff was
right
implemented? Only two Pac-12 schools. Can Utah be that school that breaks through? And to me, if you're going to do it, you got to have one of those skins. You know, you got to go on the road, and you got to win at an SEC school. So if they could win at Florida, that's one of those wins come November. If they could win the Pac-12 championship, they would probably count too. So those are the two factors in that game that I like a lot. But I tell you, you mentioned Florida State, LSU, and not just because I'm on with you guys there in the Bayou. I think LSU is a team that a lot of people are sleeping on, simply because of what happened last year and the way it unraveled there. That team is not without talent. Yeah, they got to figure out who's going to play quarterback. I think it's probably going to be Daniels when it's all said and done. But they have flipped it there at LSU. You guys know this as well or better than me. How many times over the years have they been able to flip that thing at LSU a lot quicker than people thought they would? Brian Kelly, this is not his first rodeo. He understands what it's going to take. I think he's worth several points on the sideline in a close game. I'll bet you, and I don't think they're going to, just like I told you, Mike, a minute ago, I don't think they're going to unseat Bama. But I bet you when it's all said and done, they're a lot better football team than people think they are come November.
Chris, he came on with us, and the only time he even raised his voice, and we had a bunch of questions for him, was when I asked him about Vegas, you know, the line on it, basically 6.5, 7 games. And he sort of said, hey, I didn't come here to win 7 games. And it was the only time he sort of raised his voice that, you know, he understands pressure as well as any coach that's ever walked in at LSU. You don't think you got pressure if you're the head coach at Notre Dame? You don't think you're carrying some weight because of those guys that are writing those checks? And, man, what, the last time we won a national championship, it was Lou Holtz that did it. And I agree with you. A lot of people, oh, they only got 39 players. I saw the bowl game. Well, you stuck in neutral there. That's not accurate. A lot of those players in that game, you had some academic issues. You had players that were injured. You had players that were some eligibility situations at front. But it's not like the cupboard was bare. And I keep hearing that from people. He don't have nothing. My thing is, take a look at that team when they start against Florida State. Tell me how much nothing that he inherited. I had one SEC head coach tell me, hey, when I took over my team, I didn't have a Mason Smith. I didn't have an Ali Gay. I didn't have a Jaquiel and Roy. I didn't have a B.J. Ojulari. I didn't have a Micah Baskerville. I didn't have a Michael Jones Jr. You know, hey, I don't know where fans get it, but I think that number in that bowl game is stuck with them. But it's not reality of today.
Yeah, and Mike, we all, when I say we, fan, media, we have done this forever, make way too much of what happens in a bowl game.
Yes.
And predicting what's going to happen the next year. Both yay and nay. Okay, if a team plays really great in a bowl game, oh, they're going to, you know, they're going to be a great football team the next season. Bowl games rarely have a lot to do with what's going to happen the next season. And that's, again, not just because LSU was down and didn't play well and all that, but you're right. That's a team, if you follow recruiting and you follow who LSU signed in the last 2 or 3 years and who they beat to get some of these kids, because that's the only way you can tell, is who else really wanted some of these kids. And a lot of kids you just mentioned, Butte. I guess he's changed that pronunciation of his last name now, so I need to be careful.
Butte.
Butte.
Who catches the football? If you had to pick one guy right now in the SEC at the receiver position.
Give me him. Give me him.
Scared by the defensive coordinator. Who would you pick?
I would pick Kayshawn.
And
I'm telling you, Chris, the one guy that I have heard over and over from players and some coaches, that if they put an MVP, it would be Malik Nabers. for the fall drills, the other receiver.
Which tells you again, they've got
how much talent they got.
People realize.
Yeah,
you add the Brian Kelly factor in there that he understands about developing kids. You understand what it takes to get a team ready to play. And you don't think on the practice field, in the locker room, that I'm not saying plastering the walls with some of this stuff, but they know what's being said about it. And, again, I think you could probably list about 6 or 7 teams after Bama, Georgia, and Maine A&M, and you could shake them up and sort of figure out what order they're going to be in come November. But I would not count LSU out from being among those top 5 schools in the SEC when it's all said and done.
And, you know, I mentioned the kickoff of the season, and I got to talk about this also. I want your comment. Cincinnati at Arkansas. considering you look at the Bearcats, you know, they go to the playoff appearance, and the perception is the Hogs are on the rise, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. I tip the cap to Sam Pittman. Because what he's done in Arkansas, that could be an intriguing game also, considering where Cincinnati's at right now. Now, I know their quarterback left and all that, but that seems like a very meaningful game from the get-go.
And we talked about it, experience at quarterback. Arkansas's got it.
Right.
Yeah, don't you got to root for the old offensive line coach like
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you just love that. I had a chance to visit with Sam 2 weeks ago there at Fayetteville. And O'Brien's and Barry Odom. His offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, tandem is about as good as it gets. And those guys, Kendall Bryles and Barry Odom, have done a terrific job there. You mentioned K.J. Jefferson, Mike, the quarterback. And I stood up and talked to him. He looks like a defensive end, man.
He sure does.
He's 6'3 or 6'4. He says he's down. He said he played at about 253 last year. He's down about 240. But he can really throw it out. Here's my thing, Bobby. Who did Sam Pittman piss off, man? They got to play Cincinnati, and they go to BYU in the middle of the season. I mean, who in the SEC plays two teams like that out of conference?
No, that's about as tough as it gets. And when you think about, in the future, you got to play 9 SEC games, and you have a BYU and Cincinnati on the schedule. You'd be like, what? I mean, the thing about that aspect, and I'm going to go off on what's your opinion on this.
Because Chris also answered that. Bobby and I were talking about it.
Yeah.
Do you think eventually this is going to be 9 games?
Yeah, the reason why I say this is because ESPN is going to, and ABC, you know, and Disney, they could tell the SEC, okay, you want more money to keep up with the Big Ten, you got to give us 9 SEC games. You think that's coming about? Because, look, the contract's unbelievable. But it's not so much as what the Big Ten's getting, what from CBS, NBC, and Fox now, what $1.2 billion? I don't know how you negotiate. Oh, well, give us 9 SEC games. You think that's the direction we're going?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think you guys nailed it. It's revenue. It's TV revenue. It's providing more content to say, hey, look, we're going to play a 9th SEC game. You know, not only is OU going to play Texas, and OU going to play Georgia, they're going to play Alabama. You know, you got all these marquee games with another game. You throw in that 9th game that you could say, hey, look at this, and this is going to be worth even more money. So the SEC is not going to leave that added revenue on the table. Here's the other thing. It's time the SEC got out of the dark ages.
I agree.
And play a schedule that's representative of conference. Mike, Bobby, Texas A&M has been in the league since 2012. All right, Georgia has never played a game in College Station. Think about that.
Oh, that's unbelievable, because you think they would have played by now.
At least once.
Yes.
And it hasn't happened.
No,
so that rotation, I think, gives you that you are going to see them in your hometown. Chris, if I can ask you to hold on just a second, we've got to take a commercial break. We'll come right back with you. Got a couple more questions with Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN. Mike, Bobby, Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be back with more Second Guess here on the Big 870. Back here on Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN. Chris, I'm going to ask you this question. We have not seen a defensive player win the Heisman since Charles Woodson. your chances, you think, of Will Anderson? Because, man, he's a tilt-the-field player. Pete Jenkins told me this at Louisiana Line Camp. Man, we shooting the breeze, and he says, Mike, I was in that camp with the Giants as a junior assistant, so to speak. He said the only guy that I've seen close to Will or better than Will Anderson was LT, Lawrence Taylor. Now, that's coming from Pete Jenkins, who's coached a long time. Your thoughts on if Will has a legitimate shot to be the Heisman Trophy winner?
I really do, Mike. I'll tell you this. As a Heisman voter myself, and I said this to somebody recently, I voted Will second. I voted Bryce one, Will second, Kenny Pickett three last year. And I'm really sort of kicking myself. This is no diss to Bryce Young, but I'm kicking myself. I should have flipped that order. I should have had Will one and Bryce two, because there wasn't a better football player in the country last year than Will Anderson. Someone who was disruptive and just as dominant in his position. You know, Nick Saban doesn't hand out compliments a whole lot. Certainly a lot of guys are there. And he told me last year that Will Anderson is about everything you could possibly want in a football player. Works his behind off. He's smart. He's tough. He's instinctive. He's a guy that just sort of knows, you know, where to be. He's a guy that gets others lined up. He's just everything. And a leader doesn't, you know, it's not one of these guys who's a really loud, rah rah. It's just as when you watch him on tape, you just can't block the guy.
Nope.
He's gonna run over you. He's gonna run by you. He's as good as I've seen. And you know, I'm so old, Mike, that you know, you mentioned Woodson won in '97. I go back to 1980 when Hugh Green came pretty close.
Yeah, he sure did.
George Rogers, Hugh Green, and Herschel Walker, a freshman. Herschel Walker, and I remember everybody say, well, it'll be a long time before a defensive player comes close to winning again. I think as good as Bama's going to be this year and as good as they're going to be on defense, and voters are always sort of finicky anyway, maybe they're looking for a reason not to vote a guy 2 years in a row, because I think Bryce will have a big year. But I think a bigger factor is Anderson's just going to be dominant. And guess what? The guy on the other side, the other outside linebacker, Dallas Turner,
yep,
he's next. He is going to be, this year, he was a true freshman last year. He's going to be not as good as Will Anderson, but in year three, I bet you he'll be one, if not the best, one of the top two or three defenders in college football.
And, Chris, while you're talking about one linebacker after the other, and when you bring up Hugh Green, I'm thinking, who's on the other side? Ricky Jackson.
It was Ricky.
Oh, yeah. Boy, think about it, Pitt. Hugh Jackson and, Hugh Green and Ricky Jackson. So it just shows you, you might say, oh, I'm so glad they're gone, or they're playing at the same time. But, boy, when you hit the lottery like that, you can't help be productive. Now, Chris.
You know what's amazing, guys, is when you – I'm glad you said that, Robbie, because those two guys played together. Think about the players over the last, 30, 40 years, 50 years who've come out of Pitt. You start talking about a factory of great football players. And you could sit here on offense and defense and talk about all the great football players. I bet if you did a trivia question on, you know, where some of the great football players have come from, everybody's going to say, you know, Ohio State and Alabama and USC. It's that Pitt's pound for pound produced about as many as anybody.
Right. I mean, arguably the greatest passer ahead of his time.
Dan
when
Marino.
You could hit the quarterback, Dan Marino, Tony Dorsett. I mean, Aaron Donald. I mean, come on, he's the dominant player right now. Yeah, not Penn State, but Pitt, University of Pittsburgh.
And here's the crazy part. Hugh Green was from Mississippi, and Ricky was from Florida.
Well, you know how they went to Pitt. Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah, he knew that name, image, likeness
before it
was legal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah,
he understood it that way, put it to you that way. But Chris, in the East, you think this SEC championship game, it'll be Alabama, Georgia again?
I don't see much way that it wouldn't be. Again, unless there's some type of upheaval on the team or an injury, which none of us want to see. Georgia is ahead of everybody in that division. Alabama's way ahead. But that said, remember, Bama lost at Texas A&M last year. Remember what the narrative was going into Atlanta? I was at the game last year. Bama beat Georgia. Nobody thought Bama could beat Georgia. Nobody. And they did. I mean, Mike, I was at the Auburn game the week before. They sacked Bryce Young, Auburn, seven times. They could simply not block anybody off the edge that night. They had to go to four overtime to win that game, survive by the skin of their teeth, and they get to the championship game.
And they crushed Georgia.
Right. And beat them badly. And I'm telling you, that second game of the national championship game, as good as Georgia was, if Jameson Williams or Mechie, those kids don't get hurt, I think Alabama probably wins that game. So it's just hard before a season to say, well, this will happen. This will. We're going to see guys come forward, guys that maybe aren't as good as we think they're going to be. I think Georgia, if anyone's going to get unseated of those two, Georgia is probably most likely to. But, you know, experienced at quarterback. And, yes, Stetson Bennett, he's going to play 10 years in the NFL. But I can promise you, having been around that team, talked to Kirby Smart, those kids in that locker room believe in him 1,000%. And that is worth its weight in gold. When you start talking about a quarterback and a team coming off a championship, is they believe in him and they're going to rally behind him.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Man, always great insights. And, buddy, been knowing each other a long time. Appreciate your friendship, too.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Anytime,
all right.
Guys. All right.
Thanks. All right. Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN. We'll be back to finish it off here on Second Guess on the Big 870.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.